I know God's ways are hard to understand sometimes, but on the other hand, should we expect things to be intentionally deceptive like this, like incidental things? It's one thing when he's speaking in a parable. It's another thing when he says something like this: "This is my son, hear him." This is my, whose son? Some people who don't believe in the distinction between the Father and the Son, they like to say God so loved the world that he sent himself. And while on a certain level that is true, that's not the way the scripture said it. The scripture said he sent his son. You know, for by the Son of God, God does experience what we experience. As the Son was touched with all infirmities, so the Father is touched. But there is a distinction. The Son is eternal, and at the same time, he proceeds forth and comes from God. He's the first begotten, the beginning of the creation of God. Yet, as it is written, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, but abides continually a priest, one like unto the Son of God. The Son of God abides continually. I wrote a paper that really goes into the question of the distinction between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and also the unity as well, on oraclesofgod.org, that explores all the scriptures pertinent to this. It shows that there's a distinction between the Father and the Son, but there's also a lack of distinction. And there's a distinction between the Father and the Spirit, and the Son and the Spirit, and all three, and there's also a lack of distinction between all three, and two against one, and so on and so forth. But the point I want to make is that we need to submit ourselves to God's Word. Just submit ourselves to the things it's teaching us. Let's just believe in the things. So when I hear the voice come from heaven, I believe the voice from heaven. When the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son," I believe that the voice from heaven is real. And the Son beneath is real. And he speaks from heaven of his Son on earth. I believe it all. And let's be believing and not trying to use our wisdom to make sense of things according to the way a man understands things and according to the way men find things to be sensible. You know, because man says, well, how can they be distinct and be one? There has to be some sort of explanation. And then even those who acknowledge this distinction, they try to explain it in some way. Well, they're of one substance, or they're of a similar substance. And then they get into questions that you can't answer. And I don't know how you can answer them. And I'm not going to argue over them. I just won't engage in that. I'll only go as deep as it leads me. Because we don't have to go any deeper. We don't have to explain it anymore. It is enough for us to believe in him and to listen to his doctrine. Who are we to try to fathom or understand a God who is eternal and limitless in power and righteous? How could we even begin to think that we could have an absolute understanding of that? We can understand it as deeply as he indicates. And to that degree, we ought to understand that we not fall into heresies and we begin to say things beyond that which is written. So it is imperative on us to know what is written of him, to understand what is written of him, and to believe it. Verse 11, and they asked him, saying, "Why say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And he answered and told them, "Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say to you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him." Why do the scribes say, the teachers of the law, why do they say that Elias must first come, Elijah? Elijah was a prophet from the Old Testament during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. And he prophesied against that kingdom for the wickedness of their sins. And he had the notable incident with the prophet of Baal. And there are many interesting things happened in the life of Elijah. He was a hunted man, but God preserved him. And then the book of Malachi, which comes long after Elijah, prophesied in chapter 4 of the day that would come, that would burn as an oven. And now all the proud and the wicked shall be as stubble, and the day shall burn them up, for the Lord shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, Malachi 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. That would be Messiah. Son is S-U-N here. But the, you know, it's that day star, the morning star. I am the bright and morning star. That's usually thought of as Venus. But also, we know it to be the sun. The sun rising on a new day, a new kingdom born, and the coming of Christ. You will tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. But now we're under a new covenant. But this was leading up to the coming of Messiah. And this is what he says. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So there's the prophecy that Elijah would come before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And according to Christ, in the other Gospels, John was indeed Elijah. John the Baptist came, and he was the forerunner, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. He prepared the way for the coming of Christ. And he says, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, turning the hearts of the fathers to the son and the sons to the fathers. That's what I presume he means by restoring all things. What Malachi had said about turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. But what about this? Was he Elijah reincarnated or something? No. As it is written, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. So he was Elijah in spirit, not the literal man Elijah. But he was a prophet likened to Elijah, coming with the same spirit that Elijah had. And this is something that God can do. He gives, spirits are not personal things. They don't belong to men. God gives spirits. He can put a new spirit into a man while he stands on his feet, while he's still alive. Spirit transplant, so to speak. And it can alter that man's behavior. It can alter that person's way of thinking. It can happen to people even without God.